This is the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, the only local sports talk show in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Now, here's Hunter Newton and Mike Elliger on 1430 KYKN.
Happy Friday afternoon. Welcome to the Sports Ticket. This segment being brought to you by Mercedes Sprinter Van of Salem, which with this rainy, dreary weather we've been experiencing, that may be the perfect vehicle to get you around in nice and dry, and it can haul just about everything you can imagine.
So can we stop by after the show and pick one up and try it out over the weekend?
I think we might need to.
Okay.
You know, you got a road trip planned?
I'll make one.
That's right. That sounds like a good plan.
I want to go up to Hoodoo just to see how much snow there is.
Well, if I were you, I would, pack the van up and maybe head like southeast where, you know, the sun is shining and it's a little warm and spring is in full bloom.
We haven't had winter yet. I need some snow. So I'm that guy.
Oh, you want to go back in time.
Yeah, I do.
You don't need a Mercedes Sprinter van. No. You need a DeLorean.
I want to get this done before spring, before daylight savings this weekend. So,
wow. That's a whole nother show.
Well, that's
topic.
Another show. Yeah, I shouldn't have brought that up.
That's right. Yeah. Because I was seeing this morning, they were talking about, you know, how the negative effects of losing that hour of sleep on your body.
Oh, my gosh. For a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I think it's even a lingering that, you know, you have the initial really felt effects of it, but that kind of hangover lingers on. And, you know, at my age, I still got kids in the house. So now I have to fight them to wake up what feels like an hour earlier, especially because they don't do a good job of falling asleep an hour earlier.
Okay. I just think it's all overhyped and they should make it. Move it up one last time and stop it.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking about kids having to wake up early.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's some high school basketball going on these days.
Well, I'm going to tell you where there's some hype. This is the week of the hype. The 1A and the 2A basketball tournaments and 3A are happening this week. I know that we've got some teams up in Pendleton at the 2A that are right as we go into the semifinals. And, of course, 5A is going to play tonight. 6A is going to play tonight and tomorrow night to see who gets to state next week. One of the good things that we have great news, South Salem's boys have headed up to take on a tough opponent tonight. They'll take on number 2 Central Catholic. That's going to be an uphill climb, but I got to give a hat tip and a great pat on the back to the new coach in his second year, Kip Ione, the former Bearcat. I'll tell you what, Kip's turned that program around with his help of his other former Bearcat, Kyle McNally, and that whole staff over there. They're playing some great ball. Charlie loves calling their games. They're really exciting. All they're going to do is get better, and they're going to bring South Salem basketball back into prominence. It may not be tonight, but it's going to be next year, and they're going to be a chance to play in and get into the tournament. You never know, but it's going to be at Central Catholic, so that's going to be tough. But on the 6A side for the girls, South Salem ladies, ranked number 6 in the state, they're going to host Oregon City, and then West Salem tonight will be taking on Jesuit, on Saturday, I should say. The girls play Saturday, the boys play Friday. So the winners of these games, Oregon City at South, West Salem at Jesuit, and tonight South Salem boys at Central Catholic, they get into the bracket. They're in the 6A tournament next week.
Yeah, so and we should mention that, unfortunately, our high school basketball season here at KYKN has come to an end, and in part because of the way the schedule rolled out, with the boys playing on Friday night, and unfortunately the only Salem team in the tournament is playing, you know, up at Central Catholic. But the girls have been played earlier this week on Wednesday night and now again on Saturday. And unfortunately, we have men's basketball for the Ducks on Saturday night. So right. We aren't able to cover any more high school basketball. But
it was a good season, and Charlie did a great job.
Oh, it was a great season. Charlie was awesome out there. I listened to every game, even the two that you broadcast.
Yeah,
and
just to make sure I was awake.
That's right. We've done. But, so unfortunately, we're all wrapped up, so we get the 1 hour sports ticket today. But we want to keep following what's going on as long as these local teams stay alive in these tournaments.
Another big tournament's going on. It just tipped off a few minutes ago over at Silverton. Summit of Bend is taking on the Silverton girls. That winner goes to the 5A next week over at Linfield College. So Silverton ended up third last year, state champs the year before. They have their team's younger this year. They have to beat Summit to get there. It's an 8-9 seed situation. So I wish Coach Ogle and everybody the best as we listen to this. They're playing over at Silverton in an earlier game. Then at the 4A, we've got LeGrand taking on Cascade tomorrow down over in Turner. The winner goes to the 4A over in Forest Grove next week. Also, Klamath Union taking on number one Staten boys tonight. So this, we've got some great basketball around here. And finally, it's the two-way going on as we speak. Regis boys and girls are in the top three seeds and right there. But they will be battling with Western Christian. Regis and Cross Hill Christian of Turner. Regis and Cross Hill will be playing tonight in the girls' semis. Western Christian is in the semis as well against Stanfield. And then the Regis boys tonight in this tonight against Portland Christian in the semis. If you're interested in that, osaa.org. Listen to my pal Danny Havel call the game, or if nothing else, watch the sports ticker on osaa.org and follow all these teams right then and there, be it listening to them or follow them. But we're really blessed to have all these great high school teams playing in the postseason.
Yeah, and this is when things get really exciting at the high school level. You kind of be a little sad that it's one and done if you ain't able to come out victorious tonight, tomorrow. But I think we have some major talent on the basketball side of things on both the boys and the girls' side.
Oh, yeah.
And just that scheduling conflicts that made it so we couldn't carry another game or two.
And that is unfortunate, but we're going to work on that and make it better for next year. But again, a tip of the hat for the coverage we had this year, the great help by all the coaches and the athletics directors. And Charlie just got better every game, had a great time, had some exciting games. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he says, every time I go to a game, I'm always hoping it'll be good, and most of the time it is, and it makes me look like a genius.
That's right.
And well, I said, it's because you are.
Well, you know, I've been very impressed with Charlie and yourself over the last couple of years in your football and basketball game selections as our seasons have gone on, because you could always accidentally pick a dud, and there's been very few of those.
And that's something we want to balance getting everybody on. That's really our goal, because we're a mm-hmm. community radio station. But it's called a game of the week for the reason. And as the season goes along, we want the best game of the week.
Yeah. All right. You've been listening to The Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN. We'll be right back.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Hunter Newton and Mike Elliger on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to The Sports Ticket. Friday afternoon, a rainy, dreary kind of day. Right here in Kaiser, Oregon.
Makes the flowers grow.
Well, it will eventually. And I think it's going to be a very wet spring, which is all the more reason you should go out and get yourself a Domino's pizza.
But you need that, especially if you're out planning in the rain, you need something to eat.
Well, I just think it makes so much sense on these kinds of days where you just don't feel like cooking. You don't feel like, you know, much of anything. The weather doesn't really promote that, you know, let's go out and have a great night. Stop by and grab a Domino's or order online and have it delivered.
I think you should order online, because if you do, you can, boom, have yourself some savings.
That's
and I love that.
Well, it's all just a click of a mouse. That's the way the day is now. Speaking of click of the mouse, we are in the NFL offseason, and we have had a rash of announcements as their calendar year begins relatively soon.
Yeah.
Of players that will no longer be with their current teams, starting with the big trade yesterday of DJ Moore going from the Bears over to the Bills, and then a handful of other really well-known players being announced that they will not be returning. They will be released when the calendar year begins.
And that's very soon. And that will mean two quarterbacks we both know from the West Side. Obviously, down at the Arizona Cardinals are going to let their big Kyron
Murray.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Kyler Murray.
He's gone. I kind of thought they were going to bench him last year, not playing much, but he's gone. But today we learn former Seahawk, Geno Smith, good guy. I think he's a journeyman quarterback since his heyday in Seattle. He'll be let go by the Raiders soon.
Yeah, well, on the Kyler Murray front, he was hurt a lot of last year.
Yes.
Jacoby Brissett really stepped up. He didn't lead the team to a ton of wins, but put up some great numbers. And I think the writing's kind of been on the wall that the Murray project hasn't worked out. A little bit about Kyler. He was actually a top 10 draft pick by Major League Baseball,
mm-hmm.
played a couple of years in minor league ball while he finished out his college football career, and then was a top draft pick in the NFL, chose the NFL. So he's got a couple of roads. If he wanted to rejoin some minor league baseball, he probably could see if he can work his way up on that side. you know, try and make that name as the next, what, Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson?
He's too old. Well, you know, he's a good guy.
Okay, maybe a Tim Tebow kind of mentality.
I'm wondering who would want him as even a journeyman backup. And they're talking about Atlanta, thinking, no, Miami might be a landing spot for him because they're going to be running, but he's got to go where they're familiar with his talent. And is he healthy?
Well, and he needs to. So that brings us to, you know, and we can even include Geno Smith in this.
Sure.
A quarterback, Geno Smith, and I kind of followed him for a long time. I watched him a bit in college. I always thought he wasn't as good as he believed he was.
I agree.
when he got drafted, you know, when he entered the NFL draft, he had this mentality he was going to be a top 1, 2, 3 pick. Ended up sitting there watching as day one passed him by.
Mm-hmm.
Was selected in the second round, I believe, by the Jets. Which, if you are a rookie quarterback thrust into the starting role, there's not many places worse than the New York Jets to be that guy.
And the Giants might be right in there. I'm just not a New York football fan. Yeah. I like the old players, but I don't care for the
football.
Well,
as we know about New York sports, there is a ton of pressure on you, and the Jets don't do a great job of developing quarterbacks.
No.
I mean, you can go through the laundry list of them. So they're one of those teams that's not an ideal place to be. Played a couple of years as a starter. Mm-hmm. And then I think really humbled himself when that didn't work out. And did a great job as a backup in Seattle behind Russell Wilson, which brings me to Kyler Murray. If Kyler Murray is going to be a backup quarterback in the NFL, he needs to play under a quarterback with a similar skill set. So if something were to happen to that starter, he could step in and take his place. So he wouldn't ideally be behind an Aaron Rodgers or a Joe Flacco or some of these more pocket passer mentality guys. He would be behind a running type quarterback. Maybe Lamar Jackson in Baltimore might be a landing spot somewhere where their playbook doesn't have to shift in a major direction when they go to the second string guy. But then back to Geno, you know, they let Russell go. He was very accustomed to the system, more mature, stepped in, had a couple of great years in Seattle. I don't think the Raiders setup was ideal for him, even with Pete Carroll there.
Or for anyone, really, sometimes.
Well, so it's why I think that for Geno, it's going to be back to a reserve role where he's a guy that's mentoring maybe a young quarterback and coming off the bench when need be.
Well, the Bears, top Bears, they've been kind of busy. Not only did they release their Pro Bowl linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds, that cleared about $15 million in cap space. But they had that big wide receiver trade to the Bills.
Yeah. The DJ Moore deal catching all the headlines today because a lot of people think that's the one thing. A number one wide receiver was the thing that Josh Allen was missing last year in Buffalo, which led to the struggles for that team. Because the year before, you know, he's had Stephon Diggs and a couple other of these big time guys.
Yeah.
Well,
Stephon got released by the Patriots.
Yeah, not surprised too much.
No,
there.
I'm not either.
And there's been a few other releases. Looks like the Bills are releasing Curtis Samuel and one of their wide receivers, cornerback Tyron Johnson. You know, so this is that time of the year when there is just a ton of movement in the NFL, which, you know, the one downside to the NFL is it's very hard to really put your hooks into a player and idolize that player on your team because more than any other league, there is so much movement at the NFL.
I'm a Packer fan since before Super Bowl I. Mm-hmm. I've loved them. I still do. I always will. I liked Aaron Rodgers. So the last couple of years he was there, his personality changed, and then he changed uniforms a couple of times. And now he's in Pittsburgh, and the Pittsburgh Steelers have told him, you have until this date to tell us what you're going to do. And I don't know what the date is. It's not real soon. But there's already not, it's rumors, it's beyond that. Mm-hmm. They're looking at Minnesota. Could he be a fit there? A la with the way Brett Favre went to Minnesota from Green Bay.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen to Aaron.
Well, the biggest challenge, I think, with Aaron Rodgers the last number of years, like you said, the last couple of years in Green Bay, is he waited till the last possible moment to make a decision, you know, keeping the team from either A, moving on, or B, preparing for him as your starter. And he's kind of done the same thing via free agency the last couple of years. So I think it's wise of the Steelers to say, hey, we need to know by this day, because if you're not coming back, we need to pivot.
And then they're going to have to. Mm-hmm. And what about Kirk Cousins? I mean, this is just for coffee, you know, water cooler talk. But there's a great guy and a pretty good quarterback, former Michigan State guy. But is he done yet? I think he's got a year or two, but where?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's going to be a ton of movement in the next couple of months, and we'll keep you apprised right here on the Sports Ticket. But for now, you know, as we're talking about movement, locally here in Oregon, we mentioned last week, Coach Wayne Tinkle has been let go by the Oregon State Beavers men's basketball program.
Well, you got to give Wayne a lot of credit. I don't think Wayne's ever been that great of a coach. He's a pretty good motivator. He hasn't. He's had a 46% winning ability. He's the third most winning men's coach in OSU history, and he was let go. He'll get a $3 million buyout when the men's team is done. Coach Tinkle is done, and they're going to be the number four seed, as are the women, at the WCC tournament starting this weekend. And all that's going to take is a couple losses, and Wayne Tinkle and the Beavers are over with. And then, of course, the mass exodus from that team and the rebuild with the new coach is coming on. But good for Wayne Tinkle from what he did, as long as he did it. I think A.D. Barnes wanted to fire him a long time ago, but one thing he did do is he let him go before he got into the tournament in case he gets into the finals, and then you got to keep him? Nah. Wayne's going to land someplace after your year off, I think.
Yeah, there's really nothing he can do at this point to save it. But at the same time, you know, you always feel for a team like Oregon State where the recruiting aspect and the players sticking around after a great season, we've seen it both on the men's and the women's side and on the football side of things and just about everywhere else. It is really hard to do when you're not part of one of those Power Four conferences.
Unless you're on the baseball team, and there's a little different culture there under Mitch Cannon. But you talked about the women. They are also the number four seed for the WCC. They both lost their final games last week, the Oregon State men and women. In fact, I actually watched the ladies' game last weekend, and it was a buzzer beater in overtime that they lost by on a three-point shot. But head coach for them, Scott Ruick, the women's coach, had an opportunity to meet up with him and talk with him on the phone. We couldn't get together down in Corvallis. And Scott, I knew when he coached at George Fox University for a dozen years, had them in the national title, played for a national championship twice, won it once. He's a great guy. He's a great coach. He's a good leader of ladies. And he knows what you just were talking about, rebuilding a team, mm-hmm. bringing in new faces, putting them together, and then they become winners. Well, he's combined, if you'll listen to this next conversation, Oregon Northwest players with players from out of state and foreign teams. And we didn't think they'd be fourth this year. They were. And that means they get to wait to see what a couple other teams play. Portland is one of them. You'll hear about it in the interview. But we've got head coach Rui coming up next right here on the Sports Ticket. So I hope you'll stick around for that great conversation with OSU women's coach Scott Rui.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Hunter Newton and Mike Elliger on 1430 KYKN.
Returning to the Sports Ticket on this Friday, Mike Elliger with you here on KYKN, and on the phone with us a real special guest that we haven't actually talked to on this station before, but a man who I've been acquainted with off and on since his glory days at George Fox University, and then since he has been at Oregon State the past 16 seasons, the head women's coach, and it's Scott Ruick. And Coach, thank you for joining us today here on the Sports Ticket, and congratulations on the postseason.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks for having me, Mike. It's great to be with you.
Thank you so much. Well, first thing is that I don't like to review what just happened, but last Saturday we were all privy to a very good, hard-fought ball game that you lost basically in overtime on a long Loyola Marymount three-pointer from a really good team that you played that could have maybe put you up into the third spot for the tournament. Now you're in the fourth position. Either one is fine, but boy, what a way to end this season, and it's got to be hard on the team when you see all the hard work that went in there and all that.
Yeah, it was a heartbreaker is right. Senior day, you want everything to go perfect, and up until that shot, lots of things did go perfect. You know, it was amazing to celebrate four seniors and, you know, all the people in their last year of helping our program, and it was another fantastic crowd in Gill Coliseum, and we had families in from overseas and from the East Coast, and so it was one of those very special days, but it wasn't an easy opponent. Loyola had just won the conference, right? I don't know if they'd won it before, but maybe the first time, I don't know. But Coach Erica Hughes did a great job. And so it was one of those battles. We were up eight, felt like we were kind of in control early fourth quarter. And then they made a run at us and forced overtime. And then hit the shot that won the game, and you got to give them a ton of credit. And so they earned that one seed in the tournament, and we're the four seed. And that's where we were a year ago, and that worked out all right for us.
Well, let's talk about this tournament coming up here. You've transitioned, Oregon State has transitioned into the West Coast Conference, the WCC. And it seems to me, while it's not the Pac-12 as we know it, it has had some great basketball. I've been probably to a dozen games in two seasons, and almost every night is just, it's real obvious that there's a ton of talent, not only with Oregon State, but when you play Portland and certainly Gonzaga, Santa Clara, other teams as well. Loyola's improved their game, and they were athletic and physical. I thought this is a great basketball conference.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, it's just obviously a temporary stay for us. We're just, you know, borrowed our time for a couple of years. You know, we'll be joining once again into the new Pac-12 come July. But for us who have lived on the West Coast all these years, you know, in the non-conference, we've run into West Coast Conference teams over the years, and it's been, you just know, well-coached, competitive teams. And now to have competed in it for the last 2 years, you know, I have a ton of respect for the programs in the conference. It's been fun to, as a West Coaster, to go in and out of all these venues, many of which I had not been in before. It was cool to see St. Mary's Gym. Mm-hmm. I had not been in Gonzaga's gym before. San Francisco, I hadn't coached there before. So many different places. And so it's been kind of a very unique adventure for a program and a department to borrow a time in a conference. I feel largely like we were welcome guests. And, yeah. You know, and so we are certainly grateful that they provided a home for us, a temporary home.
Well, you know, as that top four seed, number four, going into the conference tournament this weekend, you go to the quarterfinals automatically when you play. Like you said, it's going to be either Seattle, Washington State, Pacific, or possibly Portland. And against all those teams, you were 6-1 this year with just that one loss at Portland.
Yeah, we had a tough loss up there, and they're obviously a very good program. And Mike and I, you know, we're longtime Northwest guys that have spent, I think, the same number of years coaching. And so I have a ton of respect for Mike and the way he does things. And certainly we have the common thread at George Fox, you know, our times there. But I just know this time of year, everybody's dangerous. March Madness is termed that for a reason. And you just really hope you play your very best basketball this time of the year. I feel like we're poised for that. And you better expect it from everyone else, too. You know, we get to Vegas and see who can be the last team standing.
The last two or three years, you've had to, for the reasons that are obvious, retool your team. And when you had the mass exodus a couple of years ago, which is part of college basketball today, you have been able to fill some shoes along the way. You brought in some people we don't know about, especially some of the overseas players like Lizzie, who had a great game the other day. And, of course, is the nicest young lady, like most of your ladies, I'm sure, are. And you have just been able to bring in Northwest talent and mix that with international and way out of state talent. It's been phenomenal.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, the conference obviously caused a lot of disruption for us, and we got hit really hard with that change. You know, and so when those people left, and I couldn't really blame them because our circumstances changed so drastically, you know, then it was on to the next. Okay, who wants to be here? And many of the people that were available that time of the year with the talent necessary were international players. And so it's been different and fun and interesting to get to fill, you know, now a majority of our roster with international players. And like you mentioned, we've been very fortunate to have local impact on our roster as well. And so Northwest players, you know, up and down the West Coast, I guess, as you think about who's on our team. And so that, what's been most amazing to me is that our culture has stayed intact. We've always been known for a very tight-knit family. That hasn't changed, no matter where our players have come from. They've embodied exactly what we've been about for all these years, whether it's from the character's perspective, academic perspective, or basketball and competitive perspective. And so it's been a joy, you know, to put this new, unique puzzle together in different ways and maintain business as usual competitively. It's been a challenge, but it's been fun.
Here on the Sports Ticket, head Oregon State women's coach, just in his 16th season, Scott Ruick. And Scott, again, before we get to the team a little bit and then how you're prepping for the tournament, because you really don't know who you're prepping for yet. But, you know, you talked about the Northwest. When you get a Tiara Bolden, and I was able at the 5A tournament when it was still at the OSAA to broadcast for OSAA, and I remember Tiara Bolden playing there. Kennedy Schuler out of Gresham has just been an all-conference player. We're going to get to that in a moment. Allie Schimmel, the two-way player of the year, and now she's in her just completed her sophomore year or almost out of small Corbett High School. And then the Arlington, Washington hot shooter, Jenny Villa, and there's others as well, and I know I'm leaving a couple out. But again, those Northwest players have been strong, and I would think having them on the team would help you recruit more from the Northwest.
I totally agree. And you know, those there were players before them that paved the way for them and showed them that this was a viable, great option. And yes, we've been very fortunate, you know, in this transition. I mean, you talk about Kennedy, she and Sue Yepes on our team are the two that were on that Elite Eight team a couple of years ago that remain. And Kennedy, you know, decided to stay when most left and has put this program on her back in many ways, become our leader. And so we're very grateful for Barlow for the way they prepared her, you know, for this. She comes from a great family and represents the Northwest and the state of Oregon extremely well in every way. She's just a dream to coach. And Defensive Player of the Year is an unbelievable honor. And it's very well-deserved. First team all-conference. I would argue she's as valuable as any player in this conference to her program and impacts the game in as many ways. And you mentioned Jenna Villa. You know, Jenna was a great addition from Washington State, from the state of Washington, and a great sharpshooter and also first-team all-conference. And then Tiara Bolden, as you mentioned, what a story Tiara is. From Churchill High School in Eugene to Eastern Arizona to LaSalle in Philly for a year, and then jumps in the portal right when we need her. And she's just, you know, perfect person, perfect time, incredible athlete, incredible ability, and could have easily been a first-team all-conference player, but there's only so much room. But she got second-team all-conference this year, and I couldn't be more proud of her work ethic and how she's adapted her game to this level in our system. You know, and then Allie Schimmel, another one of the great stories. You know, we beat OIT and George Fox for her. and so she accepted a walk-on spot for us and was completely off the grid from a recruiting standpoint. And I just happened to be watching her state championship game because I had friends on the other team that were playing for Amity. And I had never heard of Allie. I'm like, who is this kid? And Corbett, you know, and she scored 42 points in that game. And then we had our mass exodus, and then I called her. And I said, would you be interested in talking and seeing if this would be a good fit? The next thing you know, she accepts a walk-on spot, earns a scholarship, and last year in the conference championship game played 31 minutes for us in Vegas and now has started this year. You know, so what a great story. And so we're grateful for all four of those.
Just real quick on Kennedy, she is the became the fourth Oregon State women's player to earn a conference Defensive Player of the Year honors. Defensively, this gal has recorded 65 steals in a season, and 75 is the record. Offensively, she's unstoppable at times. It's hard to guard her when she starts that run down the side of the block. And how do you block that shot without fouling her? She has been the floor leader, and when she's not doing it, she's not afraid to pass the ball around. And that's one thing, Coach, that I've noticed. Your ladies are – who's ever open gets the ball. It's not that I need to take my three.
I love that. And I'm glad that you can see that because that's Beaver basketball. Unselfish, you know, and move the ball faster than the defense can move. You know, that's where the best shots are. And so when you have an attacking player like Kennedy who puts so much pressure on the defense, you will draw help. You will draw double teams, triple teams at times. And then her court vision is unbelievable. And she grew up playing soccer. And I've always said soccer players translate so well to this game because of the vision that they have, the lateral movement that they have. And so she is blessed with all of those skills and abilities, and she's enhanced them all.
Real quick, you mentioned one of the things, and I'm close to it because I've lived 32 years in Kaiser. I know her dad from baseball, Devin Hunter, your assistant coach out of McNary, who played at Oregon State, played overseas, came back, and then Sydney Weiss returned to the fold as well recently. Plus, Coach Eli, I just love that man. And Eric is just your kind of your heart and soul in many ways, I think, on the bench. those three plus your other assistants bring so much. Teach them the outside game. Teach them the low post game. You're really fortunate.
You know us very well. that was perfect. I get to work with the greatest people. And, you know, what Devin and Sydney, just the message that it sends that they are willing to come back and work at their alma mater for their old coach adds so much to this team, so much wisdom and experience. They're just amazing people. They're fantastic recruiters. They understand the system and what we want to accomplish. And it's just so fun to see them in this role now from my side. And so we're very blessed to have them both back. And then you mentioned Eric, the greatest man I know. And so what a blessing. This is year 14 with Eric here at Oregon State. And he impacts the community. I think he could run for mayor.
He could.
Whatever he wants. You know,
North Court.
And he's earned it. So every day is a blessing. You know, to get to partner with people that just kind of, they see what we do the same way I do. They're just about people and relationships, and we all get to coach a game that we love.
If there were one moment, Coach Ruick, as we get ready to wrap up here on the Sports Ticket, that you, one or two moments this past season that you remember that just come to your mind that were so exciting, so memorable, so heart-wrenching, or just made you cry, what are one or two of those moments in this last regular season that brought you to this point?
When I think of moments, I go back to those things that really move the needle for the team. And we have a team retreat that we do every year. And the way that this team bonded over that weekend, and I know we're going all the way back to October, mm-hmm. you know, but we're really building a foundation of the season from that moment forward. It's like we all kind of get to know each other, but then we go over to the coast for a couple days, and just the activities that we do and their willingness to share and get to know each other builds that solid, firm foundation. And so I could tell from that point that this is a special group. This is a group from all these different backgrounds, you know, 10 international players that all, you know, are going to just bond at a level that allows us to be successful.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Gonzaga game here, if I were to think of a moment, that was one of the more incredible wins for the way that we played, the way that they played. They played out of their minds in that game. And so I go back to that game. It's just one of the amazing, amazing moments. And as I'm thinking now, I think we saw what this team was capable of early in the year with that win over Illinois. You know, I think we're in November now, but right out of the gate, Ciara has 25 points in that game. And, you know, Illinois is obviously a good Big Ten team. I think this team demonstrated its potential and its competitive fight right out of the gate against them.
Coach Scott Ruick, a five-time Pac-12 Coach of the Year, certainly has a lot of All-Americans, five at the NCAA level, has a great program, going to face, like I said, one of four different teams coming up this weekend at the WCC tournament down in Las Vegas. A wonderful season. Coach, first, thanks for coming on board the Sports Ticket, taking time to talk to us, and just kind of, I just know, even though this is a Duck station, we're going go Beavs on this one this weekend because we want your success. So there it is.
Well, I appreciate the time, and I appreciate your support, and this was a lot of fun. So thank you very much, and go Beavs.
That's head coach Scott Ruick of the Oregon State Beaver women's basketball team. This is Mike Gallagher on the Sports Ticket. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back here on KYK and where Salem is listening.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Hunter Newton and Mike Gallagher continues on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. This segment being brought to you by Bowenvine Burger Bar. Nothing like the best burger in all of Salem right down there on Commercial Street across from Northern Lights.
I'm still eating my pizza here. I can't get down there till tomorrow.
Oh, you! as long as it's in your weekend plans, that's what really matters, Mike. Speaking of weekend plans, spring training is upon us. We got Mariners games, I believe, noon tomorrow. And then again, midday, I believe, on Sunday.
Right.
And you know, is it disappointing the Mariners are the basement dwellers in the Arizona League?
Well, it's called spring training for a reason. This is a way you develop your young players when you've got your key players playing in that big classic baseball. You've got Cal, Raleigh playing for the U.S., if the Dominican Republic has got
Julio,
and then you've got two other players that are not on the team.
Yeah, Randy. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Randy Arozarena is playing for Mexico, and Josh Naylor's playing for Canada, and I think there may be one or two others.
Yeah.
But I sit here and go, when the whole top of your lineup is off to play in the World Baseball Classic Tournament, there's a reason that you are 3-9 and at the bottom of the Cactus
League
standings.
Doesn't mean a thing.
No, and that's the other thing. I've always said, you know, watching the Mariners for decades now, I sit here and go, the years that they kind of have mediocre to bad spring training records are the years they do the best in the regular season. And the years that they just look like juggernauts through spring training, the wheels fall off come April. And I am okay with them just kind of getting some young players some at-bats, getting them some experience in camp like this, and especially with these guys playing off in the World Baseball Classic.
And again, you can't do anything more. If you get an injured player and you bring up somebody off the bench, that's how they ever going to get experience if you don't put them on the field or on the floor. And that's what's going on now. And who better to manage it right there than Dan Wilson, in my opinion. And then you've got the pitching staff that's gotten better. They have really filled many gaps, I think, Hunter, in so many ways. Certainly the pitching has been moved around. They had to move some catchers around. We lost Harry Ford to someplace, but he didn't fit behind Cal. And then Mitch Garver didn't fit behind Cal, and he was gone. But wait.
Yeah, they've got, you know, Garver's coming back. He's on a minor league deal. And I fully expect that he will probably make the roster. Granted, I think we talked a little bit last week, Jeff and I, about, you know, the lack of experience in the other catchers that are currently in spring training. You know, the best is kind of like a 4 or 5 year veteran with minimal plate experience, like, mm-hmm. you know, topping out around 200 many years ago. So Mitch Garver gives him that experience off the bench when Cal needs a break as a DH or even a whole day off. But I think this is going to be a really, really fun year for the Mariners. They're brought a few guys. Right now, I think one of the biggest questions in spring training is a youngster named Colt Emerson.
Was he on not even 20, is he?
I think he's like 19 years old. Yeah. He would be the youngest guy to break with the Mariners since Ken Griffey Jr.,
wow.
Alex Rodriguez days. There was a lot of talk. I mean, he's only hitting about 190 so far in spring training, getting a lot of at bats right now in this scenario. In fact, leading the team going into tonight's game, in at bats in spring training. But, they were saying if he had a really good year, how would the Mariners handle his promotion? Because they don't have they picked up Donovan from the Cardinals.
Great pickup.
They've got another young guy at second base, you know, penciled in this year in a little bit of a rotation in Cole Young. So it's kind of like, where would he fit in? Of course, J.P. Crawford is their shortstop.
Well, he just turned 20, by the way, so he is a 20-year-old infielder. But he's got a position group, and he's really impressed, according to what I've read on some coaching notes here. He's not just playing to his upside, that, you know, that flashy shortstop guy and third base, but he had some very good bats. He has some elite batting skills for a young man at the plate, but he's also seizing that opportunity of more reps. You get more, mm-hmm. like you said, more times you get a chance, and he's showing what he's got. Will he start? Well, he could be opening day, or he could be AAA and call him up in May. I don't know, but Colt Emerson is really one of those real deals. Is he a Ken Griffey? No, but he's in that area.
Yeah, well, and how many future Hall of Famers have we seen start their career at shortstop and then transition to somewhere else? You know, very few guys do the Mookie Betts way of going right field to shortstop to second base.
Well, I think the only one I can really think of right off the top is Alex Rodriguez, but there are others.
Well, Alex Rodriguez moved to third base as his career progressed. Cal Ripken moved to third base as his career progressed. And of course, then there was Robin Yount, who went from playing shortstop in Milwaukee out to center field. So, you know, wouldn't be the first guy to move from shortstop to, create a Hall of Fame career if he ever gets there, you know. But of course, we're talking 20 years from now for this 20-year-old kid. So not too much pressure on this end.
And there is a young rookie they just selected. Cade Anderson,
mm-hmm.
having a great spring, won't be on the AAA roster, probably going to put him nothing less than long A, but I have a feeling Everett will only see him for a while, then he'll go AA.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the way these top prospects now progress through minor league baseball up to the majors. All right, you're listening to Sports Ticket on 1430 KYK, and we're going to come back and wrap it up with a little World Baseball Classic talk. Hold on.
back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Hunter Newton and Mike Elliger on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. It's going to be a quick one here before we head off for the weekend. This segment being brought to you by Auto Team Service Center down there on McGillcrest. World Baseball Classic is now officially underway.
Oh, yeah.
Shohei Ohtani has already hit his first Grand Slam of the tournament in the Japan bracket. Stars from across Major League Baseball. We talked a little bit about all the Mariners that are participating in this thing, representing their home countries. This is a once every three, 4 year program that, that Major League Baseball has teamed up to do. It is a lot of fun cheering on your home, your native land.
And of course, it really brings the baseball fans together, especially in the smaller governors. The Dominican, it's huge. Puerto Rico, it certainly is. Mexico with some pretty good players as well. Those countries come to mind right off the top of my head. But, you know, like you said, it's going to be, you got a lot of, you don't realize how many all-stars are from these foreign countries until they play in this classic.
Yeah, and as we look at the opening round, there's one, the Puerto Rican team, Canada, Colombia and Cuba are playing. I mean, you got Brazil, Great Britain, Mexico, of course, Italy, United States have all got it. Japan, Korea, Chinese Taipei, Czechia, Australia in a pool, Venezuela, Netherlands, Dominican Republic, Israel has got a team in here, Nicaragua. I mean, this thing really represents the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, outside of the Olympics kind of mentality. I think right now they're saying the top three teams in the odds are the United States and the Dominican Republic, I believe, and Japan.
And Japan, I think, is loaded.
Japan won it last time around. behind Shohei Ohtani, I mean, his iconic shot of Shohei Ohtani striking out Mike Trout to end the tournament last time.
I remember that last time.
You know, at the time, Angels teammates battling on the world stage.
Yeah, it's really going to be great. You get a chance to watch it on ESPN and MLB Network. You get a chance to see that. But great baseball. Mariners coming up tomorrow here.
Yeah, and you can always turn on, you know, if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can watch the Chinese bracket and the Japanese play out there in the Far East. So, yeah,
I don't think I'll be doing it.
No, get to bed early so you can wake up at that point. All right. You've been listening to the Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN. Have a great weekend.
Bye. This has been the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Hunter Newton and Mike Elliger every Friday at 5 p.m. on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.